You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, my friends, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. My name's Clint Clifton, and today we're feeling a little nostalgic. We're looking back over the past year, the New Churches Podcast, at the episodes that made the greatest impact. Episodes that were really helpful, surprisingly practical, and really stood out in our minds and in the minds of our listeners as really helpful conversations to advance the gospel in our own communities. So today we're going to be looking back at a conversation that happened between Ed Stetzer, Vance Pittman, and Hayden Ratner on reaching people far from God. These three guys are veterans at reaching people far from God. They've worked in frontier areas out in the West in Las Vegas, and then Ed spent a lot of his ministry in New England and the North, and so they are veterans at trying to reach people far from God. And so they had a great conversation on that subject, and we're going to replay that one for you.
So let's get a little more talk about what it means to engage people who really are you know, I guess far from God is a phrase we often use. I guess everyone without Christ is far from God, dead in their trespasses and sins. But Vance, most people I know set out to reach people with the gospel, but often find their new churches full of folks from other churches. And of course, you brought people with you too. So what are some practices church planters should have in their day-to-day ministry to keep them focused on reaching people who are not followers of Christ, rather than just shuffling sheep to a cooler pen, but reaching people who are not followers of Christ?
Well, I think one of the things you can do is you can plant a church where there aren't that many church people. Come to a place like Vegas, you go to Seattle, you go to Portland, you go to Denver, 90%+ of the population don't go to church anywhere. So it's a target-rich environment for church planting because there's so many unchurched people. But I think secondly, it starts, Ed, with a city perspective. And what I mean by that is too many church planters, what they have in their mind, what they've wrapped their heart around is a church. But there's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus said, go plant a church. He said, go into cities and nations and make disciples. And when we do that, churches are born as a byproduct of disciples being made through engaging cities with the gospel. So if we have this perspective that the goal is not to grow a church, the goal is to penetrate the lostness of the city, that perspective alone, as we teach and preach and disciple that, will keep that in front of our people. The second thing that follows along with that city perspective is this idea of building bridges into the city. And here's a very practical tip. Every city has an office called the city manager. Every city manager has a list of items on their desk that's their responsibility to solve in the city. And every city manager is underfunded to solve those issues. As a church planter, go meet your city manager. Go build a relationship. Find out what of those items on that list you can take off the list. How has God wired and shaped your church to serve your city? And when you do that, you're building relational bridges, and those relational bridges are bridges which introduce you to lost people in the community who begin to see Christ in a different way because of your compassion and your service and your love, and they're attracted to the gospel that you're presenting. And the third thing is personal for the planter, that they need to develop personal relationships. The first 13 families that I led to Christ in Las Vegas, I led to Christ through coaching Little League. Oh, wow. I was just a Little League coach with my kids, and I'm out there on the ball field, I'm in the dugout, I'm at team meetings, I'm at team parties, and those families came to Christ through the relationships that we built in the city. So planters have to think of themselves not as pastors of churches, but as missionaries in cities, and look for ways to build relationships and engage with gospel conversations.
So good. I wondered, when we talked in the last episode, you mentioned that you brought a team of people with you, which is highly unusual and also a great blessing and opportunity. But also too, I mean, all of a sudden you've got Christians. And one of the things I wrote, Daniel M and I wrote in Planting Missional Churches, is when you go with a large team, you often can end up just focusing on one another and not focusing on reaching people who are not churched or are not believers. How do you in your situation, how did you at the beginning, and I'm going to follow up and ask, how do you continue? But how did you at the beginning get people to be outwardly focused in reaching other people, not just you, but the whole group that you came with?
For starters, we didn't gather. We didn't do together stuff early on. I told them your job when you get here is to buy a home, get in a neighborhood, rent an apartment, and start building relationships in the neighborhood to get a job and to begin to build relationships with your work community. So we did not intentionally. Now, we didn't. I wish I'd been smart enough to say it was strategy. We just weren't ready to begin any gathering. So I challenged them to build their relationships, not within our group, but outside of our group. So their focus wasn't our group. We didn't have a group. We were not identified. I encouraged them, if they wanted to worship, go find a church in Las Vegas and just visit other churches while we were getting ready to begin to do things. So for the first couple of months that we were on the field, all our people did, all the only responsibility we gave them was find a neighborhood, build relationships, find a job, build relationships, look for places to connect your kids and build relationships. So it was the intentionality of discipling them to begin to think like missionaries in a city and not like church members in a church that I think led to that.
Okay. And last question before I go to Hayden, what personal practices do you do then and now to help you? Because your church is highly evangelistic. One of the things we love about what you're doing. So what does that look like? Because a lot of planners are listening saying, so how do I get to that spot where I'm ongoing engaging people who don't know Christ? You mentioned already some of the activities you do, but you actually, I mean, coaching Little League did lead people to Jesus. You did something more than that.
Totally. So it's about building relationships and building the relational equity that allows you to have conversations. One of the great things about Vegas, where I live, nobody's from Vegas. Only 7% of our population are born and raised. Hayden is the unicorn. He's one of those born and raised Las Vegans, but most people are not that. Everybody's from somewhere else. So everybody has a story. And in Las Vegas, everybody wears that story on their sleeve. So if you'll build a little bit of relational equity, everybody's dying to meet people and get to know people and hear their story. And so it's in that story that people would automatically, they would hear me, they would say, "What are you, a guy from Alabama, what are you doing here?" And it would immediately allow me to tell my story of Jesus and my life. So it was the story. And then for me, the other practical thing that I've done is I've tried to leverage my hobbies. So when I was a dad of young kids and I was coaching was a part of my hobbies. And I leveraged that. For me now, I'm a foodie. And so now I have a restaurant ministry. I go back to the same restaurants in Las Vegas, and I've got several people that I've led to Christ who were either servers or managers. There's a guy right now in our church who's starting a business. He's actually started two companies, and I met him as a manager of a restaurant called King's Fish House that I go to, and he's wanting to start a cleaning company. I said, "Man, if you'll come check out our church, I'll get you an appointment with our executive director." He came. I got to share Christ with him. He came to know Christ. His wife came to know Christ. His girlfriend, they got married in our church. They've now had a baby. He's now started two companies, and we were his first cleaning client. So it's leveraging the relational avenues of your life, your hobbies, the things that you like to do, and turning those into intentionally having gospel conversations.
Fascinating. Hayden, you come from a different background for a lot of church planners and pastors. Both your family of origin and more. So first, quickly, how did you come to faith in Christ? Then I want to talk about how you continue to share the gospel with others.
Yeah. So I had an idolatry problem with basketball growing up, and had never been to church. I just had this vision, this dream. I want to play Division I college basketball. I want to go on to play professionally from there. And that's my plan A, no plan B. And I'm focused. I'm locked in on that journey. And so I ended up at James Madison University. And I'm doing this thing. I'm living out the dream that I always had. And then randomly someday at the dining hall, FCA representative, Fellowship Christian Athletes, invited me to a Monday night huddle, get the free pizza, come check it out. And so after kind of dodging this dude for a few weeks, I ended up, hey, let me just go ahead and show up. And I remember showing up that night and looking around the room thinking, this is so strange. There's fellow athletes in the room. And they're holding Bibles. And so I had this stereotype that, this was suit and tie. This was going to be a church event. It's going to be weird. It's going to be a lot of people that look different than me. And for the first time, I saw some similarities. Then the weirdest thing happened. A softball player pulled out her guitar and said, "We're going to stand and worship." I remember tapping my teammate saying, "Are you singing? Like, mm-hmm. what are we Are we singing? And with all that said, I made the decision. I'm going to come back. I'm going to keep showing up. One of my biggest things that I tell guys, if you show up, you'll grow up. There's just power in just taking a step, coming back. And someone put a God's Game Plan Bible in my hand. And wow. I just remember opening that thing up. I said, where should I start? Somebody said, start with Jesus. I went to Matthew. I almost didn't make it through the genealogy in the first chapter. But while continuing to journey through the Gospel of Matthew, the life of Christ, Matthew 7:23, I could hear Jesus tell me, I never knew you. I didn't have this relationship with Christ. I knew some things about him, but I didn't actually know him personally. And that was really what led me to say, you know what? He'll never tell me that. I'm going to get to know Jesus personally. And I just began pursuing Christ. I was going to FCA on Monday, Campus Crusade Tuesday, InterVarsity Wednesday, Do-Rag. Do-Rag was an all-Black ministry, Divine Unity, Righteously Applying God. And I remember going to that on Thursday, and I just was hungry for the Lord. And I ended up coming back to Vegas that summer, and I didn't know a single Christian.
Wow.
I didn't even know there was church. I knew there was Mormon churches in Vegas, but that wasn't my lane. I knew that I was not, God was calling me to do something in my city, but I didn't know where to start. So I just started relationally, like Pastor Vance said. Guys I used to hoop with, coaches, teammates, my own family. I said, I'm going to start a Bible study that is very relational. A lot of people thought I got brainwashed when I went to college. Like, what are you doing coming back here? You know, like, dude, it's hiding, bro. Like, I was doing hip hop, fashion, shoes, hoops. Like, I had nothing to do with faith. And nobody did. That's the crazy thing. I played on a lot of teams growing up. Nobody went to church. And so sometimes I think, you know, somebody recently asked me, said, hey, Hayden, who do you want to reach with your church? And it was in me. I just said, I want to reach myself. I want to reach me as a high school young adult that was just totally unengaged on my way to hell without knowing it. And so started Bible study. Yeah.
Yeah. So fast forward from then till church planting, because again, our audience is going to be church planters, interested in or planting. How does that practice look like? You know, Vance shared some about, you know, those hobbies and engaging. What does that look like for you as, because we want to help church planters to intentionally be evangelistic. What does that look like for you?
Right. Hey, before he answers, Ed, let me say this. Hayden planted a church 3 times before he planted a church. He just didn't know it. He came to Vegas like 3 different times and did what he said. And he led so many people to Christ. He'd have 50 to 100 people in his apartment where he's teaching. And he planted 3 churches before we got a hold of him and taught him how to plant a church. Like this guy was literally doing it.
Nice.
Facts. Well, praise God for your insight in that, Pastor Vance, because I surely needed it, Nina and I together. But, you know, I think that something that I've also learned from Pastor Vance is this idea of the Christ life, right? Christ in you and through you. I love the Major Ian Thomas quote, the same life Jesus lived then lives now through us. And you look at Jesus, the Luke 19 quote, he says, I've came to seek and save the lost. If we're allowing Christ to live in and through us, he's focused on lost people. He's seeking, he's saving, he's got an eye. It's the Matthew 9, the splagnesia, compassion. He saw the crowds who were lost and it moved him to action. And so, you know, I think that we need new eyes as planters. Like we get eyes that are so focused on the work and we miss the people in the process. There's people everywhere. People all around our city. And so, you know, I think that just evangelistically, that's not super practical, but I pray that prayer. Lord, help me to see who you want me to see. I went into a greens and proteins little restaurant the other day. And
let me just say that that's never a phrase that you're going to hear from me, but go back right on with that.
Yeah.
Steak and potatoes. Come on, Vance.
We can do that. All right, I am mad at that. I just, in a moment, I was in there. I'm focused. I think I even had my headphones on and I see a UFC fighter who is well-known, 2.5 million followers on IG, just sitting over in the table, kind of focused. And I see him and I'm like, that's Cody. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go talk to him. No, I can't talk to him. No, you know, and I feel like Christ in me saying, do you see the people that I'm positioning you in for moments? So I just ended up going for it, went and shot my shot. He just begins to share his soul with me. Like, I'm like, whoa. He goes, I've been looking for a next step in life. I moved to Vegas to kind of restart. And so now we're texting about faith. And so I just think if we, for practitioners, if you are open, I'm looking. I got my net out. I want to catch somebody here today. We will. Yeah. We'll actually take a step.
That's so good. Okay, so let's talk about how you go from there. Yeah. What's the most helpful way when it comes to discipling new believers to then, you know, grow in their faith and become fully devoted followers of Christ? What is the process that you're walking with?
Well, one of the big things for us, we encourage people, don't be home alone. Don't be Kevin McAllister. You're at
Chicago
church.
Reference. Chicago.
On,
reference.
Chicago. That was a Chicago reference right there. Right? Like, we believe that the best way for you to grow is in the context of community. And so we love small groups at our church. We call them charge groups. If you plug in, you'll get charged up. And so it's part of our culture where people are coming to know Christ in our church, and it feels weird if they're not in a group. I know for me, one of the big ways that I began to grow is in the context of community, some accountability, some people to walk with. Especially when you're reaching lost people, sometimes you're taking people out of their normal relationship rhythms. Like our executive pastor Mike was sharing this at a restaurant last night, saying he was in fine dining for a decade. He has all these relationships in the restaurant industry, and they're living a rock and roll lifestyle, if you would. He gets saved, and now he has this decision. He's got to tell these chefs and cooks, "I'm not going out with you tonight." But we need to replace that community with a new community. And we found that that's been huge for new believers in our church to be a part of a group, be a part of a family. Discipleship has to happen in community. I'm sure Pastor Vance might have some more than that. But
well, let me answer interview. Yeah, yeah. If that's okay. Yeah. But you go ahead, Heidi. Yeah. You want to do it? You want to take over?
He was going to jump in. I'm sorry.
No. I know to follow the master Ed's lead.
I don't know about that.
This
I don't
is
think
a
that's
dance
a phrase.
And he's leading. So
that's
I just
not
follow.
A phrase that anyone has ever used related to Ed Stetzer, I assure you.
Yoda.
Vance, one of the things, wow, that's, I guess I'm old. one of the things, but I think we're about the same age, but we won't push on that.
There we go.
I was just thinking, because, you know, the guy who was my successor at the church I planted in Pennsylvania years ago, where, again, I keep going back, Hayden has that eerie Pennsylvania connection.
There's only a few of us.
It's only a few of us, man. It's only a few of us. It's dreary, eerie. It's not so great in the lake, people would say. I loved it there. It was our favorite place to live ever. But anyway.
So good.
And if you watch Millionaire, like, there was this guy who goes there and he gets dropped into town. He has to start over. It's, you know, Erie's got a vibe to it. Anyway.
Yep.
So one of the things we talked about is, Todd's his name, we talked about this for years, is that when we started the church, man, there were a lot of people with a lot of issues. I mean, they were just people, messy people. And then over time, a church kind of doesn't engage messy people as often and as well. Because, again, you know, people who say come to Christ as adults, they come to Christ as adults almost always around a crisis. And if you don't want people in crisis, don't do evangelism, because that's so connected to the two. So here's my question, Vance. Reaching people far from God, challenge, right? That discourages a lot of church planters. And so what would you say, and how would you encourage people to seek to, and again, I'm not saying anything negative about, you know, engaging, you know, seventh graders, a very common time people come to Christ, but engaging adults who don't know Christ leads to some of these messy challenges. How would you encourage people to still value that?
To value continuing to reach people with the gospel.
Yeah, and even though it can be costly, because it's not, you know, not everyone's beautiful and happy and smiling and happy when the gospel being shared. I mean, people come at points of crisis.
Yeah. So for me, I'm gonna try to answer that with an illustration from my family. So my wife and I got married 30 years ago this May, and it was just us. But then very shortly we had some kids. And by the time I was 25 years old, we had three kids, and there was a life to our family because of our kids, man, that just brought an excitement and an energy and a zeal and a vitality to life through our children. But then our children grew up. Three of our kids are now married. Our last is about to graduate high school, but now they're grandchildren that have begun to come into this thing. I have two grandkids, a third on the way, and I'm praying for my kids to be fruitful and multiply, and for there to be many grandkids in my life, because now there's a new level of excitement and a freshness and a vitality. And so
the thing that happens in churches, you said it a minute ago, is we wind up, if we're not careful, with these people that come to Christ. And then all of a sudden we've created this subculture of Christianity within our culture and we live in our own bubble. But there is an excitement. Yes, it's messy. Man, when you reach people in a place like Vegas, it is messy. It's like the book of 1 Corinthians without your Baptist goggles on. It's everything that's going on there. But it's messy, but it's also pure. There is a purity about the gospel from these new believers that is contagious. They read the Bible and believe it. Like they just read it and go, oh, that's what it says. Then that's what I'll do. And there's no cultural Christianity when you reach these new Christians that have come to Christ out of a lost, dark, hopeless world. Like they don't come to church because it's what you do on Sunday. We could have a 3-hour service and they're not going to go anywhere because they genuinely come to experience and encounter Jesus and do life together. So I would say, man, there is a life, there is a vitality, there is an excitement about continuing to reach new people. Yes, it's messy. Yes, there are challenges that go with that, but it creates a purity in the body. It creates a freshness in the body of Christ that I think is worth going after.
Love it. I agree heartily. Thanks, Vance. And last question to you, Hayden. New people coming to faith in Christ, we want to grow and develop them. What does that look like? What should a church planter be thinking of specifically, what are the most important factors in spiritual maturity for those who are new to the faith?
That's good right there. I think that, hey, this is going to sound pretty cliche, but church, getting connected to church, making it a practice to be here, be a part of this thing. Don't disconnect from the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We're trying to help our guys and gals really be a part of this thing. I think weekly church attendance, D.L. Moody once said that weekly church attendance is like blood to the person who is sick. It's fresh, it's moving, it's something. So I just want to encourage that. Also, I would say, for the new believer, getting in the Word until the Word gets in you. Something that Pastor Vance helped me see early on was the daily proverb. That was 10 years ago. I've been reading the same chapters in the book of Proverbs every day for many years, and I've become wiser from it. I feel like sometimes I'm having conversations and I'm just talking Proverbs. And it's been so life-giving for me. The Proverbs have become guardrails for my life. And it's cool because I'm in a group text with a bunch of new believers in our church, all guys. And every day we're kicking the proverb of the day. We're doing it this morning to start. And so I think being a part of the church where you're part of this family, you're in the Word. And I think the last thing I would say that was helpful for me, I'm speaking out of my own life, was just an authenticity to be yourself. Not feeling like you have to be me, not feeling like you have to be Ed Stetzer or Pastor Vance or somebody else in their walk with Christ. Be you. Like for me, I'm a hooper. God had to redeem that in my life where I felt like I kind of ventured away from things that were a part of the intangibles of who I am. I love shoes. And then God began to redeem these things in my life and use them for his kingdom's sake. So everybody's got a unique leaning, unique wiring. And so we're trying to help people champion, sanctify, get the sin out, but the things that make you like be authentically you in the body of Christ and you'll find your fit.
Good deal. Our guest today, Vance Pittman, Hayden Ratner, both serve in Las Vegas, and super helpful episode. Let me remind you, as always, if you're preparing to develop or currently developing a core team for your new church, you'll want to go and check out the free course titled Developing a Core Team. This content's applicable whether you're launching a new church, starting a campus, an existing church. The course is free, like everything at newchurches.com. It's free as well. If you enjoyed the podcast, and I know you did, take a moment to like and share it as well. Leave a review wherever you download your podcast, and we're super thankful for you listening to the New Churches podcast. Thanks to our guests, and thanks for our listeners.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.